Begin the current daf Masechtas by the Zohar daf Chav Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we opened up the second parak in the previous daf regarding another halacha relating to a Jew and a non-Jew, is that we're not allowed to put our animals in the stable by the non-Jewish hotel because they're chasha on revia, that they're going to engage in bestiality with our animals, which is lifnei iver, because it's forbidden for a non-Jew to engage in bestiality. On that, the Gemara asked in the beginning of Amud Beis and asked the contradiction from a Braisa. The Braisa said we're allowed to purchase animals from a non-Jew and we're not concerned that they engage in bestiality with an animal. So are we concerned or are we not? So the first answer the Gemara gave in the previous daf was that it depends. With their own animals, they would never engage in that act because that would ruin the animal. But with the Jew's animal, which is there just overnight, he would engage in that. That's why it's not a difficult. You could buy from him as his animal, because he would not do it. But with the Jew's animal, he would, and therefore he's not allowed to seclude it in the non-Jewish hotel. On that, the Gemara continues, Ravinam, he gives another approach to resolve the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Brais. He says, look, Kasha, it's not a difficulty. Truth is, the halacha is like our Mishnah, that the non-Jews are suspect regarding sodomizing an animal. However, the halacha of the Mishnah was talking about initially. And that is like the opening words of our parak, Ein Mamidin. We're not allowed to put our animals in a situation where it's going to be secluded with the non-Jew. Because, yeah, we suspect maybe he's going to sodomize the animal. But the Braisa that says we're not concerned when we're buying the animal from them, that maybe it was sodomized or that the animal sodomized the non-Jew. That's talking about the Evid. That's after the fact. In other words, you're saying that, oh, wait a second, how could you buy this animal from the non-Jew? Maybe it was sodomized with the non-Jew. That's what the Gemara is saying. Ravina says that no, for that fact that it happened, that we're not concerned. It's just that we don't allow it initially. But after the fact, we don't say that he probably did it, and therefore you could buy the animal from him. As Ravina says, and for where do you say that regarding something that there's a suspicion, the shani bein leketchila bein l'diyeved, that we do differentiate between initially and after the fact. And that in this case, for example, where, yeah, initially you're not allowed to seclude the animal with the non-Jew. But where it was secluded, where let's say the animal was from the non-Jew, we're not going to say it's forbidden, and we're not going to say that it was sodomized by the non-Jew. How do we know this? Did not. Because we learned a Mishnah halacha as follows in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Lo tisyachet ishri mom. Another halacha is that a Jewish woman is not allowed to be secluded with a non-Jewish man. Why? Said the Mishnah, Nisha Choshud Nala Rais. Our Mishnah said, because they're suspect regarding illicit relationships and therefore something that's going to be forbidden might occur between the two of them. Now, Vriminu, but that halacha seems to be contradicted by Mishnah Mesechtik Subas. The Mishnah says, because our Mishnah seems to indicate, that they are suspect. But the Mishnah Ksuba says, if a woman was taken in captivity by non-Jews, Ali de Mammon, through a situation because she owed them money and therefore they took her in captivity, Muteris Labala, she's still permitted after they release her to go back to her husband. In contrast, Ali de Nefashis, but if they took her because of capital punishment, so then Asur Labala, then she would be forbidden with her husband. We would assume that they did something inappropriate with her and that she did it willingly, a possibility, and therefore she'd be forbidden to go back to her husband because she would have already committed znus. But one thing that's contradicted is, our Mishnah says, they're suspect when there's a seclusion between the non-Jew and the Jewish woman. That's why you're not seclude them. Yet the Mishnah Ksuba says that although they were secluded, they took her in captivity, still, she's permitted to go back to her husband. How's that possible? Elalav Shemamana, rather says Ravina, what we see from that contradiction is, And the inherent resolution is the shani lombein leketchila l'diyaved, because there's a difference between initially and after the fact. Yeah, initially we say do not seclude a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man because something inappropriate might happen. But after the fact, when they were secluded, we don't assume that it happened, and therefore she's permitted to go back to her husband. So to over here says Ravina in the halacha of the first halacha of our Mishnah, do not seclude the animal with the non-Jew. But after the fact, we don't assume that, and therefore you could buy the animal from the non-Jew. That's the Gemara Mimai. No, what's the proof for Ravina's halacha from the Mishnah in Ksubis and our Mishnah? No. Maybe I would tell you, afil diyevin amilot. No, that actually it's a problem even after the fact. Then what's the reason over here? If you're saying that something that initially we suspect, we say even after the fact that maybe it happened, and therefore Ravina's answer would be incorrect, and that is according to our Mishnah, you wouldn't be able to buy karbanas from animals from a non-Jew. So then why over here do we say that the woman who we suspect initially not to be secluded with a non-Jew, why is she permitted to go back to her husband after the fact? That's for a different reason. That's because the misyari mishum hefsim emayin, in the case of this mishnah ksubis, the captor is afraid of losing his money. Because he thinks, wait, if I have relations with this woman, the husband's not going to pay me back anymore. The whole reason why I took her is so that I could have ransom money to get the money back. And therefore has nothing to do with the fact that, oh, after the fact we don't assume. No, in the case, nothing to do with getting money back, of course he would do it. And it would be forbidden. But that's a different reason, because he's afraid to lose his money. And says the Gemara, in the rejection of the proof for Avinu, Tehdei, you should know that the whole reason why she is permitted to go back to her husband is because of the skir of the loss of money for the captor, because the Ketani Seifa. The second halacha of the Mishnah over there says, as we quoted, Aidenefashis, but if let's say they took her in captivity, not because she owed money, but because they thought she was deserving of being killed, then Asur Labala. Then she's forbidden to go back to her husband. So obviously we see that when there's no fear of a loss of money on the captor's part, that they would treat her disrespectfully. And therefore we have to be concerned that maybe she had be with one of them willingly, which that makes her forbidden to go back to her husband. Or someone to say actually that it would be talking about an Aisha's Kayin who is forbidden to go back to her husband, even if she was raped, even if it was against her will, which Rashi says the primary is the first interpretation, because in Ksubis, it's obviously we're talking about an Aisha's Yisrael. But therefore, says the Gemara of Suleimi, there's nothing more to talk about. You can't ask on this rejection of the proof, meaning because most definitely the reason is only that she's permitted to go back to her husband is because the scare of the loss of money. They don't want to lose their money, but it's not because there's a riot to Avina, it's not because after the fact. No, it could be that there's no difference between the Getchil and the Yevet. The whole reason over there was because of Hefsid Mamet. Now, the Gemara brings a third approach, Rapidas Amar. He says, a third resolution to the contradiction between the Mishnah and our Brice. It says, Likash is not a difficulty. Yeah, they do contradict, but it's not a problem, because Ha Reb Eliezer, our Mishnah is going like Reb Eliezer, and Ha Rabbanan and the Brice is going like Rabbanan. Where Ditznan Gabi Paras Chatzis, we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Para, regarding the laws of Paras Chatzis, which refers to the Paraduma, the red heifer, that Reb Eliezer, he says, Eina Nikhis Min Oib Yigicham, you're not allowed to purchase the Paraduma from a non-Jew. Machacham Matir Macham say, no, it's permitted. Says the Gemara, my lab ba kemiflegi, says Rabbi Das, isn't this what they're disagreeing about? Which is the Machlekes Ar Mishnah and the Braisa. Rabbi Laza Savar Chashin El Revia. Rabbi Yezza says, we're concerned that the non-Jewish owner engaged in bestiality with this paraduma, which you can't use that as a carbon. Rabbanan Savar Lechashin El Revia. And Rabban said, no, we're not concerned, which is like the Braisa. So Rabbi Yezza is like our Mishnah, and Rabban is like the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Mimai. No. What's the raya that this machlekes tanoim and this mishnah mesechtas para is this machlekes our mishnah and the brisa? Dilma de kula amalecheshin levi. I could tell that really everyone is not concerned for the non-Jewish owner engaging in bestiality with the animal, which would be like the brisa and not like the mishnah. V'hacha in the time of Reb Eliezer, then what's the reason Reb Eliezer that he says you can't buy it from the evdei kachabim? What's the problem? You're not choishish that he was revei it. It's for a different reason. Could Rabbi Yehuda Marav? Dam Rabbi the Rav, he says, "Hiniach alein udishal sakin." If someone puts just a bunch of empty bags that are tied together, something very light, something so insignificant, you put it on top of the paraduma, pesala, that itself would already invalidate the utility of using that red heifer as the paraduma, because the pasuk says, "Ashaloi olah alah," that nothing was put on top of it, even no matter how insignificant it is, it invalidates it. In contrast, uva egla. In the what's known as the Egla Rufa, the decapitated calf, when they find the dead person between the cities, they don't know who killed him, you have to bring Egla Rufa, which shears similar halachas and paraduma. There, the Egla Rufa does not become invalidated by just putting on the light yoke. Achetim Shechba, until it actually pulls and drags with the yoke on it, as the pasuk says in Egla Rufa, in the Varm Chafav, Hashalei Moshchaba, that it doesn't draw with the yoke. Now, says the Gemara, obviously this is the Machlekes. Meaning we could say, not like Rapidas, we could say that it's actually contingent on a different halacha. Mar Savar Chashinan, that is, Rabbi Yezza says that we're concerned that maybe the non-Jewish owner put on just a bunch of sacks, just a bunch of bags that are tied together on top of the back of the paraduma that already invalidated. Mar Savar Chashinan, whereas the Rabban say that no, then we're not concerned that he did it, and therefore you could buy from him. But it has nothing to do with Revia, nothing to do with the Machlokes on Mishnah and the Braisa that we wrote before. So Gemara says, Loisa Gedaitich, you cannot entertain to say, as the Gemara wants to reject the proof of Rapidas, and to the contrary, no, it is like Rapidas said, because you cannot entertain that the reason of Belazar, they says that it's possible is because of this Uda, this bunch of bags that are tied together, because Meshom Nichem Porta, just because of a small convenience that he's holding a load, and just small little bags that he wants to put somewhere, he puts on the back of the Paraduma, Lemaf Setuva, he would never do that to have such a huge loss of money, where a pardum would go for tons of money, as we're going to see later on, because it's such a rarity. So therefore, it wouldn't be possible to say that Rabbi Eliezer would say it's possible to buy from him, because we should be concerned that maybe he did that. He would never do something so silly. And therefore, must be the reason is, like Rabbi Eliezer said, because we're concerned that, no, maybe because he engaged with bestiality with the animal, and that's what's going to be possible. The Rabban disagree. That's Machlekes HaMishnah. And the Braisa, that's the third interpretation of the Machlekes. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that he wouldn't give up thousands and thousands of coins for just a small little convenience, so hachanami lema. So then you should say the same thing for Rabbi Eliezer is concerned according to your interpretation. For a small little delight where he engaged in bestiality in the animal, he's not going to lose a huge loss. He has other animals. Why would he go and engage in sodomize the paraduma if that's going to cause it to be invalid? He would never do such a thing. So how can you say that's the interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer, which is like the halacha of our Mishnah? So the Gemara, hasam yitzur taikvoy. There, his desires overpower him. That's very different than the small convenience of just schlepping some bags. But by engaging in something related to sexual immorality, that's something he would do, even though it's going to be such a great loss. And that's why that's the understanding where Eliezer says that one cannot buy the paraduma from the non-Jew. Now, the Gemara asks, but the Gemara still wants to say that maybe this machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabban is not the machlekes our Mishnah and the Braisa, because maybe actually no one's concerned for Revia. So then we're back to the question. So if it's not like that, the way Rabbi Das wants to say, like the halacha of our Mishnah, so then what's the understanding where Rabbi Eliezer says you can't buy it from the non-Jew? Here the reason Rabbi Eliezer why he can't buy paraduma from the non-Jew is because the Tani Shila. Like Shila taught in the Braisa, the Tani Shila, he taught a Braisa, an explanation of my time, Rabbi Eliezer, what's the reason Rabbi Eliezer that says you cannot buy the paraduma from a non-Jew? Because the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'yikre lecha, speak to the Jewish people, and they will bring for you, where it says there in the Pasuk, a paraduma, the red heifer. Now he says, what you'll see from the words is b'nei, what the word v'yikru, could also be translated as yimkaru. They'll sell to you. So that teaches you bnei Yisrael yakichu. The Jewish people will buy for you, meaning they'll sell it to you. But the non-Jew cannot sell to you. So it's simply gzeiras hakasim. Maybe that's the understanding of Rabbi Eliezer. Where do you see that the machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chum is machlekes our Mishnah and the Braisa? Maybe Eliezer does not hold like our Mishnah. He's not cheshish for a non-Jew to be engaging in revia. It's for a different reason that he says you can't buy the paraduma because gzeiras hakasim. V'yikre lechu is b'nei Yisrael and not by Avdi Kachavim. And that's the Gemara. No, leisa g'day dechi. He cannot entertain to say that this Rabbi Eliezer we quoted before is like the interpretation of Shila. Because the Tani Sefer, the end of that Braisa says over there, that V'chein ha'Rabbi Eliezer paisel, so Rabbi Eliezer would invalidate, not only can you not buy a paraduma from a non-Jew, but b'chol ha'karbanis kulin, all karbanis you cannot buy from a non-Jew. Now, V'isa k'day t'kiddi t'an shil, now if you're entertained to say like the way Shila taught, so bishlam e'parak seba kicha, so we can understand why the paraduma you can't buy, because there it says kicha. So okay, the selling has to be from a Jew, not from a non-Jew by paraduma. But by all karbanis, it doesn't say anywhere that the term kicha, just say it's only by Bnei Yisrael, not by Avdi Kacham. Why can't you buy from a non-Jew? Obviously, it's because of revia, like Rabbi Das said. But the Gemara still asks on this interpretation. He says now in the other direction. But v'dilma ad kan le'pligi Rabbanu le'ad Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe, where do we find Rabbanu disagree with Eliezer? And says that, no, you could buy the animal from the non-Jew, where in this case it's talking about a paradumum. So that's, as we continue to Mabez, maybe that's Elabapara, the Dumei Yukarn. That's only by the Paradumim because it's very expensive. Where the non-Jew is concerned, he's going to have such a huge loss. So he'll hold in his Yetzer, he'll hold in his desires, his lust, to engage in bestiality with this animal because he knows this is a huge amount of money. Who knows what he could do with it to get other types of lustful things. So maybe it's only over there that they hold that one could buy from the non-Jew. Al-Bashar Karbanis Maiduli, but maybe other Karbanis, they agree that no, you have to be concerned that maybe that he was Reveya the animal. And maybe therefore they would agree that you cannot buy, and therefore that wouldn't be like the Braisa who said that you could buy. So how do you know again that this is Machlekes Mishnah and our Braisa? Maybe the Rabbanah are not like the Braisa, and they agree to the Allah of our Mishnah that there we should be Chesh Reveya. And I think my answer is no, because if Elohad the Tanya, then this that we learned in the Braisa we mentioned before, Loikhim Behemel Karban, which is this previous the Braisa of the previous daf, that one could purchase a behemoth from a non-Jew for a carbon, so then Mani, who would it be like? Loi Reb Eliezer, v'loi Rabbanan. So obviously, it must be that Rabban hold that this halacha is even not only by Paraduma, but even by other Karbanis. And again, like Rabbi Dal said, the Brisa is like Rabban. Void, moreover, says the Gemara, conclusively, Tanya Behadi, we explicitly learned in the Brisa that the Pin Rabbanan is not only by Paraduma, but that you could purchase from the non-Jews all Karbanis from the non-Jew. Because Tanya Behadi learned in the Brisa, it says, Maya Sibali Chavroel Rabbi Eliezer. What did the colleagues, Rabbi Eliezer, Chacham, respond to Rabbi Eliezer? They responded with a pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, "Kol tzoin keder, all the sheep of the flock of Yishmael, yikov tulach will be gathered to you. Yalu l'ratzin amezbechi will be brought up willingly on my altar." Obviously, you see that for all karbanis, it's permitted to buy from a non-Jew, which, and therefore, the resolution of Ripidas is correct in the sense of the Chacham hold this halacha of buying and bringing animals from the non-Jew is regarding all karbanis, because the nachash l'rvia not only from paraduma but for all animals. And Rabbi Eliezer is like the Mishnah, who says you are chayish, and therefore he says it's possible by all types of karbanis. That's the third resolution of our Mishnah, which says that we are chayish l'rvia, and for the Brisa it says we're nachash l'rvia, and you can purchase the animals from the non-Jew for karbanis. Now the Gemara says an independent idea, where Adken loy pligi ele b'chashasha. Up until this point, the whole machlokes we had was only for regarding suspicion, where we don't see if the non-Jew sodomized the paraduma. Where that's what we said, this is machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, which Rabbi Das was using to say that's the machlokes our Mishnah and the Brisa, if we suspect that he was reveyed or not. But says the Gemara, v'heicha d'vadei rava pasla. But if we know for sure that the non-Jew sodomized, engaged in bestiality with the paraduma, it's going to invalidate it. Says the Gemara, Shema Mano, we can infer from that, is the para kachem isbechi, that the paraduma is considered, it qualified in halachas of the sanctities of the altar. I mean, there's two types of kedushas, the generic kachem betek abayis, which is for the temple upkeep, which is kedushas damim, and kedushas isbech, which are kedushas aguf. Says the Gemara, obviously, the paraduma has the halacha of the sanctity of mizbeach, and therefore becomes possible when it's nirva, when it's sodomized. And so too regarding redeeming the paraduma, you can't redeem it without a blemish. Even though, in the chiddush, and this is, even though the paraduma is actually not sacrificed on the mizbeach itself, it's actually brought in another place, but it's still qualified as kachem mizbeach. Says the Gemara, because the Iyakaziv would entertain to say that its kedusha is not any more than kachem bedek abayi is. It's just like the regular sanctity of the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, the monetary fund of the temple. And regarding any item, there could be the sanctity of bedek abayi, even on stones, and that would be what the kedusha is for the paraduma. Then, mi mifsli ba revia, would sodomy invalidate it? No, there's nothing that would invalidate a rock or an animal that was sodomized, it would have kedushas bedek abayis. Obviously, we're saying that revia, according to everyone, if we knew for sure, would paslid, invalidated, obviously, is because it has kachay mizbech. The Gemara disproves that raya. The Gemara says, no, shani para. The paradum is different. In other words, we could say that actually regarding the laws of redemption, and regarding what's known as hamada and haracha, which has to be evaluated to see what its value is, it actually has the halachas of kachay bedek abayis. However, regarding psulin, regarding invalidations, there, it's something repulsive to bring something as a carbon, which on some level the paraduma is part of the ceremonies of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the repulsive to bring something that's pasul because the chat is karechmanam. Ultimately, the Torah calls the paraduma, although it's not a carbon in the conventional sense that's being brought on Mizbeach, but it's called lemei nida chatas, it's called a chatas, and therefore it has the halachas like a carbon chatas, which is in that sense that you can't bring something that's a psul, which just like karbanis cannot be nirva, so to the paraduma cannot be nirva, even though it actually is qualified as kachay bedek abayis for all the other halachas like regarding redemption. But that is the Gemara elamiyatim. If that's the case, you say regarding the animal itself, invalidation psulim, like a carbon, do apply to it, so tipasal b'yetzer d'eifin. Then it should be invalidated if it was born through a C-section, not through a natural birth, through the birth canal, which regarding other carbonists, that's a psul, that's an invalidation, as the Brisa teaches in Mechayris. The pasuk says, Shaira chesev, if being an ox or a sheep, that excludes klaim, if it was not either one, but actually from a forbidden mixture, or from a mixture of animals, or Ayez, it says, or a goat, which is another exclusion. If it's nidmit, it appears like a different type of an animal. When it says ki yivalid, that's going to be born, that excludes if it wasn't through the normal way of birth, but rather through a yetz daifin, through the abdominal wall of the animal, not through the birth canal, which that pasuk is by karbanis. And if that's absolved by karbanis, so then you said that those types of absolution should apply to the paraduma. And it says the Gemara, and if you're going to say it actually paraduma is possible if it was from a yetz daifin, not through a natural birth, Salomatanya, then why do we learn the Braisa Hikdisha? If someone sanctifies for the Paraduma an animal that's Beyetz Daifin, if it was born through a C-section, Pesula, it's possible. That's the time to come. But Reb Shimon Machshir, Reb Shimon says it's kosher. How could he say it's kosher if that should be unanimous ruling that just like Karbanis is possible according to everybody, so too it should be by Paraduma? Now, Vachitim Reb Shimon Tamei, and if you're going to say, oh, the reason is because Reb Shimon is like his reasoning elsewhere, the Amar Yetzir Daifin Vlad Ma'al Yehu, he says that a child that's born through a C-section has the same halachic status like a child that's born through the birth canal, where this is halacha brought in Masechet Nida Daf Mem Min Alef, where the Tanakhama says, a child born through a C-section, there doesn't have the classical halachas of a woman that gives birth, which is she generally has certain days of Tumah, and certain days of Tara, and she has to bring a carbon on the birth. That says the Tanakhama does not apply to a child that's born through C-section. Shimon disagrees. He says, no, it's like a child that's born the normal way, has the Tumah of 7 days if it's a male and 14 days if it's a female, so to the days of purity and to have to bring a carbon. So maybe that's Reb Shimon L'tameh that he says, oh, a Yetzer Daifin is just like a normal birth and that's why it is going to be kosher. And that says the Gemara, but you can't say that because of Amar B'Yechanan, he said that even though Reb Shimon says that Yetzer Daifin is like Vlad, like a normal birth, but Maidahar Reb Shimon agrees in halacha le'inyin kachim regarding karbanis. If an animal goes out through the abdominal wall of its mother, she'ena kadosh, that's not sanctified, that it's impossible to be a carbon, because it's only regarding a mother, regarding her days of tumah and tahara, and of her bringing a carbon later. That Reb Shimon says from a superfluosity in the pasuk. In the cave of Selah, which is extra, that the pasuk is adding unto you another type of a birth, which is including not even the natural birth, but even the Yetzer Daifin. But by kachim, by a carbon, unrelated to a mother and her tumas leda, there Reb Yechanan says in Masechet Nida, Reb Shimon agrees that that's going to be invalid. So if it's invalid for a carbon, so it should be invalid for a paraduma, because he's saying paraduma is just like a carbon in these elements, so how could Reb Shimon say it's kasha? So Eli rather says the Gemara, don't say that the reason why the paraduma, we said according to everyone, it was only again Reb Elezer Chacham, do we suspect or not? But we said that according to everyone, if we saw the non-Jew engage in bestiality with the paraduma, it's going to be possible. Don't say it's because, like we said before, that it's because the paraduma is called chatas, and therefore it'll have the halacha like the karbanas. No, rather the reason is that even though it is kachet b'edik abayas, but shani para, the paraduma is different. Hayil umum pais laba, since a blemish invalidates the paraduma, as the pasuk says explicitly, ashein bei mum, paraduma cannot have a blemish. So that's why dvar erva, something relating to sexual immorality, meaning if it was sodomized, and vavaydah zara, or if let's say it was set aside or actually served as a vavaydah zara, nami pais laba, those are also going to be invalidations in the paraduma, as the Gemara is going to explain, because there's a comparison in the pasuk between a mum, a blemish, and hashchasa, and something that's an abomination. Where, therefore, Nami Paisla, but these things are also going to validate by the paraduma. So, like it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, it says, Kimashchasim bam, bahem, because their destructiveness was inside of them. Mumbam, there's a blemish in them. The Pasuk there is talking about not to purchase certain things from a non-Jew. But one thing we see is that there's a comparison between Hashchasa and Mum. Now, Batan Rebbe Shmuel, he says, Kamokim Shinem Hashchasa, wherever it says the term destruction, that refers to sexual immorality and to idolatry. How do we see this? Devar erva, the chesed like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, ki hishchis kol basa es darkei ala aretz. It says regarding the Dor HaMabul, says because all flesh had destroyed their path on the land, because the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, their primary sin was sexual immorality. Like it says in Vayir b'nei Elohim, that they went and they engaged in improper ways. Where do we find that Hashchasa refers to idolatry, like it says in Devarim? Pentashchi, so maybe you're going to be destructive. Asisim lechem pesach, you make for yourself an idol to worship. So therefore, says the Gemara, v'hapara nami, so regarding the paraduma, hayla mum paislaba, since a blemish invalidates it, as the pasuk says explicitly. So devar erva, v'devar tzkechav impasalba, so that's why also sexual immorality, meaning bestiality, meaning this psula of nirva, and idolatry will apply to it too, because like we see the pasuk equates mum and hashchasa, and ever since mum applies so to hashchasa, that's the reason why, according to everyone, if the paradum was nirva, it's going to be possible. Even though we could say that it's not considered kachem mizbeach, but rather kachem bedik abayis. Now, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to what was mentioned before, which the Gemara had entertained to reject Reb Pedas by saying, Harina Reb Eliezer's cheshit for Revia, maybe it's only because of this interpretation of Shila. And the Gemara said, no, you can't, because from that price it was clear that it's going to be by all Kabbalists and not just by Paraduma, and that interpretation of Shila would only apply by Paraduma. But Tanya Shila, we had learned that Shila taught, my time in Reb Eliezer. What's the reason of Reb Eliezer? The Chassidim, like it says in the pasuk, by the paraduma, it says, "Dabel b'nei Yisrael," speak to the Jewish people. "V'yichlu," and they'll take for you a paraduma, which we said that the word "v'yichlu" could mean they'll sell. Which is b'nei Yisrael yikachu ve'no evdu kachom yakachu. You could only purchase from a Jew, but you cannot have it being sold to you from a non-Jew. And that was what his interpretation of that price of Reb Eliezer was: the psul of buying from an avodah zarah from a non-Jew is a special gezeiras hakasim of by paraduma. And that is the Gemara, but if that's the case, that's how you interpret when it says v'yikhu, it's b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu, that you can only buy from the b'nei Yisrael, not from Avdik Chavim. But then the pasuk in Shemaester says as follows, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikhu li truma, they should take from me trumas, which are separations of money to be used for the donations of the Mishkan, to build the Mishkan. So that is the Gemara. Hachanam b'nei Yisrael kochu v'nei Avdik Chavim mikachu. This you would read the pasuk Yeros. It means to say you can only take donations to build the Mishkan from the Jewish people, and not from, you can't buy things, items from the non-Jew to use for the Mishkan. Now v'chitem hachanam, and if you're going to say that that's actually the interpretation that you're not allowed to buy gold and precious stones from Melechus Mishkan from a non-Jew, but v'amar v'yud Mishmul. But we're going to prove in the following narrative that we could purchase precious stones and gems and all these things for the Mishkan from a non-Jew. Because he said that Shalosh Reb Eliezer asked Reb Eliezer, "Ad heichen kibud avim? Until how far does it go, the halacha of honoring one's father and mother? In other words, how much does a person have to be careful and meticulous in kibud avim?" So Amal Hemed, Reb Eliezer said to them, "Tzuru'u, go out and see. Ma'asa evi kechavim echad la'av ba'ashkelon. What did a non-Jew do to his father in Ashkelon? And all the more so, for sure, a Jew who's commanded on it, how far he has to go." Where Bedama ben Nesina Shmai, his name was Dama ben Nesina. Pam achas bikshu mimenu avanim le'efod. One time they requested from him precious stones for the ephod, which was this robe-like garment that had the chayshin on it with precious stones, and there were these two stones on the top of the ephod, known as the avnishnoi shem and avnimilum. And they wanted to purchase from him, as we continue on top of chavdal menalf, b'shishim ribischar, that the potential gain from that sale was going to be for him 600,000 coins, which Rav Kahana Masna, he learned that actually was b'shmoinim ribos, 800,000 coins. Now the keys for that chest to get the precious gems were beneath the pillow, beneath the head of his father. And he didn't bother his father to wake him up from his sleep to just get the keys to make this huge sale. And that's how far you see is the halacha of kibud avim. But one thing we see is that they were going to purchase from him the stones for the Beis HaMikdash, for the big day kuhuna. So you see that Yelada v'yikru. So, but then you say v'yikru, but B'nai Yisrael is only could purchase B'nai Yisrael, like the interpretation of Shila. And here it says v'yikru regarding the trumas of the Mishkan. So it's the Gemara, no, avnei shoyim hifseke inyan. From the fact that when the pasuk is talking about it, but there are all the different things that the items you have to get for the Mishkan, it doesn't say v'avnei shoyim, which are the stones that were purchased for the ephod. Because by all the other things it says with a vav, v'kesef, v'nechesh, v'tchelis, v'argomen, v'ayres. Here, it doesn't have with a vav, it's eila, which it means it stops, it's starting a new thing, it's not going back on the yikru. That's why it doesn't apply that only b'nei yisrael v'yikru, not avdi k'chav v'yikru, and therefore avni shayim was permitted to be purchased from a non-Jew. And that has to come up, but v'avni milum k'sim. But then the pasuk continues, says, and the avni milum, the hod arve, which it goes back and it mixes it all together to the original thing, and the vav connects it to what it was before. So they are all included, Avni Hashem and Avni Luhum, which it is forbidden. So how could they have gone and purchased from Dam ben Nesina? Vav, moreover, says the Gemara Ketani Seifa, the Braisa there at the end of this same narrative of Reb Eliezer continues and tells us that the reward that he got for honoring his father, Lashana Acheres, the next year, Noldu Lepara Duma Be'edre. He had a red heifer that was born in his flock, which is a very uncommon thing, a rarity, and it's an important animal for the Jewish people, for the paraduma. Nichnesu chach misol atzli. So the Jewish sages came to him. Amar lahem, he said to them, look, yidei ani b'chem, I know regarding you Jewish rabbis. She'im ani mevakesh mekem kol mamash ba'olam, if I'm going to request from you all the money in the world, atem noisim, you'll give me whatever I ask, because you need this paraduma. Achshav, eini mevakesh mekem, elo itzim mamash avisadi b'shval abba. I'm only going to ask from you the money to get paid for the paraduma, that money that I lost because of my father from the previous year, that I didn't get that money, and this I think is maybe my reward, and therefore I'm only going to ask you that amount of money. But one thing we see is that the halacha of kicha does not apply according to Rabbi Eliezer. How could Shila say that's the reason for his halacha by the paraduma? Because it says kicha and it says bnei Yisrael, but here by truma for the things that to be donated to be bought for the mishkan, it also says bnei Yisrael and kicha. And here we see clearly that they're buying one of the ceremonies, which is the paraduma. They were purchasing from Dan ben Nesina. So it's like, well, that's not difficult. Hasam aide tagari Yisrael zavim. They was purchased through a Jewish middleman, where the Jewish middleman had purchased that paraduma from Dan ben Nesina for himself. Then the Jewish people goes and buy it from that sirsa, from that Jewish middleman, and therefore they weren't buying it for the Mishkan from a non-Jew, they were buying it from a Jew. A Jew could buy for himself from the non-Jew. It's only for the Mishkan, which says, V'yikru m'nei Yisrael, that wasn't a promise, therefore we could say like Shila. But that has to Gemara one final question. According to Shila, the whole concern about paraduma, it seems, is only because of V'yikru and b'nei Yisrael, you could only purchase it from a non-Jew. Ask the Gemara of Rabbi Eliezer lechayis l'rvia. According to Shila, is that really so that he says the reason is only because of kicha, but Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned that the non-Jew engages in bestiality and that wouldn't be a problem not to buy the paraduma from the non-Jew? But Vatani learned the brisa. Amr loy l'Rabbi Eliezer. They said to Rabbi Eliezer, there was an incident. They purchased an animal, a paraduma, from a non-Jew. His name is Dama, which is referring to the story we just mentioned before. Some say Ramitz Shemai, that his name is Ramitz. So they said, you see, that you could purchase a paraduma from a non-Jew. Amalem Rabbi Yez, Rabbi Yez said to them, Misham Raya, from there you bring a proof. Yisrael, how you Mishamar, now you said Mishash and Alda, there the Jewish people were watching and safeguarding the animal from the moment it was born, and therefore they know that it was never sodomized by the non-Jewish owner, by Dama. So therefore he says, that's why it's not a problem, that's why they were allowed to purchase from him. But what do you mean? I thought the whole problem was that regarding paraduma, he said, okay, so paraduma you now purchase because v'yikru. So that we said, okay, that they took care of because they did it through a middleman. But what's the problem with Reveya? So that's what he says, oh, there's no problem because they watched it. But I thought according to Shul, there's no problem about Reveya. What do they have to watch it for? That says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Eliezer tarti isle. No, according to Shul, actually Rabbi Eliezer has two concerns. One is because of kicha, because it has to be purchased only from a Jew and not from a non-Jew. And regarding that, that's why they needed a middleman. And that applies both for the Trumas HaMishkan and also for the Paraduma. And Shila holds that, yes, there's another concern, that of Reviyah. He agrees to the interpretation of Rapidas, where that the Mishnah's halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, that we're cheshish for Reviyah. And for that reason, they also have to safeguard the animal besides purchasing it through a middleman, that they make sure that Dama, the non-Jew, never engaged in bestiality with the animal. Only then could they purchase the animal from him for the Paraduma for a carbon.